Hello, hello, and welcome to That Garden Show. My name is Shannon.
And I'm Harmony.
And we're so glad you're with us for another episode.
Before we begin today's episode, we do want to take a minute and thank you guys for all of the listens. We are on the top 100 chart for Home and Garden Podcasts on the Apple chart. So we want to say thank you because we couldn't be there without you guys.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Now, for today's episode, we are going to discuss houseplants. Now, what is a houseplant? A houseplant is basically any houseplant or any plant that's grown indoors, mostly for decorative purposes, right? When we think about houseplants, usually the first thing that comes to your mind is going to be a tropical plant, a succulent, or some kind of cactus. But at the end of the day, really, it's any plant that you grow indoors. So, Shannon, are there any houseplants that you grow indoors that maybe you wouldn't typically think of?
Yeah, actually, I had to bring my pineapple and my ginger plant inside from growing them outside over the summer season. And just a quick note, when you bring in a plant from outside, you want to make sure you do a double check for bugs. You don't want to bring anything inside with that. But yeah, I really love my pineapple plant and my ginger plant. And until spring, they'll live in the house.
Nice, nice. I have some herbs that I recently brought inside, some basil, some sage, some lemon balm, a couple other things. And I guess those, I wouldn't traditionally consider those houseplants, but I guess really they are, right? Because they're inside. So
yeah,
those are houseplants.
This is a houseplant now.
It is a houseplant now. Okay. So we're going to talk about, I guess, some common challenges that we typically see with our houseplants. So Shannon, what are the top three common challenges that we would most likely see?
Typically, watering, pests, and light are the three things people need to pay the most attention to. And I just want to shout out real quick to Nicole in Chicago. She's part of the inspiration for this episode. Thank you, Nicole, for your questions on how to bring a houseplant back to life and how to get rid of pests. When it comes to watering, Harmony, I feel like it can come in so many different signs that you're having watering issues. It can get a little soft feeling or soggy almost. You could also have shriveled leaves if you are underwatering. Sometimes leaves even fall off. For me, it is more often that I underwater than I overwater. Mm-hmm. But I have experienced root rot before, which is a huge problem with overwatering.
Gotcha, gotcha. Now, I'm a big fan of bottom watering just because I find that it's not always easier because then I do have to move my plants around. But I find that it works best for me. What do you like to do? How do you like to water your plants?
I bottom water most of my plants as well. My fern and my Fittonia, I do mist them, which is not really watering them, but it is part of the watering procedure for those plants for me. But yeah, I prefer bottom watering as well. You're less likely to get pests when you bottom water. And I just think the plant kind of soaks it up a little, or the dirt is a little bit more fully watered that way.
Yeah, yeah. And when you bottom water, it actually forces your plant's roots to reach deep down to get that water. So it encourages root growth versus if you water from the top, then what ends up happening is your roots are going to stay closer to the top to get that water and they're going to stay smaller. So it definitely is in your benefit to do that bottom watering.
And like we said, you're less likely to get pests, but pests are another common problem or challenge when it comes to houseplants. Harmony, I think that's like, the fungus gnats, aphids are very common on houseplants, spider mites. Am I missing anything?
There might be a couple other, but I think those are the majority that you're going to run into, the spider mites and fungus gnats and everything. And overwatering can actually contribute to those fungus gnats because it creates a moist environment for them. So if you are overwatering, not only can you, kill your plant, potentially, but you can also, bring some of those fungus gnats into your home.
Yeah. To me, are most common if it's a plant that came from outside and you're bringing it inside. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard many cases or any cases really of people getting aphids on a plant that's always lived indoors. Mm-hmm. But my favorite solution, if you were to ever experience aphids, is ladybugs. You can order them on eBay or like Amazon. They do come in large amounts, so you better need a lot of ladybugs if you're going to make that order. But another common thing that I use to prevent problems is a fungicide spray. Mm-hmm. And I don't use it often, only if I really think there's a problem, or maybe as a preventative if I'm bringing home a new plant and I'm not sure if it has any issues or not. But I like my organic fungicide spray. I try not to use anything with harsh chemicals because it's still living in my house, mm-hmm. and I want to make sure that the environment that I'm living in is health and safe as well.
Yeah, and for like spider mites and stuff like that, I definitely like to use neem oil. It is a natural plant-based oil, so it's definitely safe for your home. I don't know if I would feel comfortable letting a horde of ladybugs loose in my house, though. That might be something. That might be a drastic measure, but I could definitely see that being a solution. So
yeah, definitely not in your wide open house, but maybe in an enclosed area if you really, really need it.
So like if you have a screened-in porch, maybe that might be.
Or a grow tent.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And then with the fungus gnats, with those, at that point, a lot of times you'll have an actual infestation of your soil. So you can dry it out, but the eggs hatch every 7 days. So if you're not making sure that it's continuously dry while still meeting the needs of the plant, you might actually have to just take that plant out and replace the soil completely. That is an option as well. Depending on, you know, if you want to just take small measures at first and you want to, you know, build up to that, or if you just want to go straight to it and replace the soil. I know, Shannon, you said you like to just replace the soil, right?
Well, I've never had fungus gnats, but yes, that would be what I would do. I, with root rot, I mm-hmm. definitely,
that's
if
right.
I think I overwatered, mm-hmm. I would rather just start over. And I don't, if it with root rot specifically, I don't throw the soil out. I can reuse it after it dries out again. Mm-hmm. But I just don't reuse it for that same plant.
Gotcha. Okay. And I think the last thing that we were going to talk about, or the last challenge that we were going to talk about, was light. And that can be, that can manifest itself and show itself in a couple different ways. So I know you are a big fan of the trailing and vining plants. So how do you make sure that you keep those, you know, well lit and give them all the sunlight that they need?
I have a lot of natural light in my house, which is a blessing. But, you know, if the leaves are coming on further and further apart, mm-hmm. you're realizing that it's really trying to reach for the light. So that would be an indication that you need to move it to a new location. Thankfully, I don't really have that problem specifically. I actually am more likely to see too much light problems, which would be something like burnt tips on leaves. Or sometimes I've seen that a plant starts getting a small, like almost like a burn hole mm-hmm. in the middle of the plant. That can be a sign of too much light too. So for me, that is more what I'm looking for. And then mm-hmm. I need to move it further away from the light or find it something that is not so direct. I found a really cool picture on Instagram one day where it showed the different levels of light. Mm-hmm. So if it's getting bright light, obviously there's a very sharp edge on the shadow. You can see exactly the formation of the plant in the shadow. If it's getting partial light, it's going to have more blurred edges on the shadow of the plant, and mm-hmm. it's not going to be so distinct. And if it's getting low light or indirect, like so much indirect light, it's barely really getting light, you know, it'll be such a light shadow that it really has no formation of the plant. So that was really helpful for me mm-hmm. with figuring out lighting issues.
I really like that. I think that's a really good way to visualize it, because I have my front room has a really big picture window in it. So I feel like it gets a lot of light, but then I have some plants that are not very happy there, and I'm looking actually for another place to move them. So I think I need to go upstairs and take a look and see what their shadows look like. I think that would be super helpful.
Yes. And I think checking multiple times throughout the day is good too, if you have the time. Many of us are spending a lot more time at home during the pandemic, so hopefully we do. But that way, you know, like, is it getting the morning light, the middle of the daylight, the late in the daylight? Is good to know as well.
So another thing to keep an eye out for is if you see your plant leaning. If it's leaning like it's trying to reach towards that light, then all you really need to do is just rotate it so that it gets equal opportunity on all sides. It's pretty simple, but it can be something that you don't notice if you don't know to look for that.
I like to do like a quarter turn every couple of days, because that way I know all the sides get hit. Mm-hmm. I've accidentally let a plant get so grown towards the light that if I try to turn it, it will actually like tip itself over. And if your plant gets really lopsided like that, or is growing to one side, the best solution I have found is just putting some pebbles or rocks on the top layer of dirt, because it'll help give that pot a little bit more weight so that it's not so top heavy.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, so I'm not as involved as a plant mom, because I wait until I see an issue and then I go and fix it. It seems like you're a little bit more reactive, you're a little bit more preventative, where I'm a little bit more reactive when it comes to my house plants.
I just try to do a walk around daily. Personally, I just enjoy looking at my plants, but also I just like to see, is there a change? Because it's easier for me to catch a change if I'm seeing it happen gradually than if I wait too long. I fear that I would catch it too late, and I have caught plant problems too late and not been able to fix them. Specifically, I had a calathea, a rattlesnake calathea I love so much. And slowly over 2 years, it died from basically just a humidity issue. The poor leaves were brown and crunchy and then just kind of died away. And I was just not giving it the right environment. So I hope to get another calathea one day, but I'm just not ready yet with the humidity needs that they have.
Gotcha. So I recently got a polka dot plant from a friend. She shipped it in the mail. Thank you, Felicia. However, I had it in a propagation station. And it's been there, and we've recently turned the heat on. So the water evaporated, and I didn't realize. So it is now very crunchy, and you might have to send me another one, Felicia. I'm sorry. But I killed it.
Yeah.
And that's like this week. So, you know, even if you are an experienced plant parent, there still might be situations where, you know, you're still learning, or maybe, you know, you do know better, but you just make a mistake and something happens anyway. Don't beat yourself up about it. Just keep going, you know, ask your friends for more plants and just keep trying.
There's always a plant swap somewhere. And you know, right now in the pandemic, when we are spending a little bit more time at home, it's easier to really keep an eye on those plants and see how they're doing on a day-to-day basis. When I was working, you know, full-time, I can't say that I was as proactive as I am now. Mm-hmm. But I'm really grateful for the time with my house plants. It's great to keep an eye on them. I really enjoy going to plant swaps. I went to my very first one not too many weeks back, maybe about a month ago now. Mm-hmm. And shout out to Janie, who put that together here in town. And I hope to go to another one. I believe there's one at the end of November. If anybody in the Southwest Michigan area wants information, we can share it on Instagram down the line, I'm sure.
So one thing to keep an eye on, guys, is if you've moved or if you've even just moved your house plants in the house, keep an eye on where your plants are in relation to the windows. A lesson that I learned last winter was it got super cold, you know, it was freezing, and my plants were all nestled against the window on the small window sill that I had, and I lost about 3 plants overnight. Because, you know, your windows get so cold when it gets below freezing that it actually transfers that that temperature to the plants, and it can kill them. It sends them into shock and, you know, kills those plants. So that's definitely something to be mindful of.
Yes. I had a similar issue with a heating vent. You mentioned with the propagation station that your water had evaporated. Well, one of my plants was just, it was an aloe plant, and it was just getting too much direct heat. And I didn't keep in mind that I needed to look at where my heat vents are and where in relation to my plants. So that's also something to keep in mind if you're in a new house or a new environment. Harmony, there's this trend of people who just want to have one of everything. They want to collect plants. They want so many different types of plants. And for me, I was that way in the beginning. I really did want...
I think we're all that way in the beginning.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's just the consumerism of being an American, right?
Yeah.
But I've toned down that after I kill... It's hard when you kill a plant. Like the first or second time you kill a plant, it can really... hurt you that you weren't able to keep that beautiful plant you loved so much alive. And often we can't keep it alive because we're over loving our plants by overwatering or over fertilizing or whatever it could be. But I personally think that I just want to make a PSA. It is okay to not have one of everything. Yes. It is okay to have some bare space in your house. Mm-hmm. It is okay to have a middle or small collection. I think because people want so much of everything, and then you have that pressure of maintaining all of these plants. And of course, you know, there's people who have been plant moms forever, and they're laughing at me saying this probably because they're like, huh, I can do this in my sleep. But you know, for when you're a beginner or even an intermediate plant owner like myself, I've only owned house plants for maybe 4 or 5 years. You know, you don't need to have so many that you can't quite keep track of what's going on.
Yeah. Buying houseplants and then maintaining houseplants are two very different hobbies. I'm really good at buying houseplants. But I was the same way. You know, I was like, these are like Pokemon. I got to have one of everything. I got to catch them all. And I found that I was not good at maintaining every single different type because I wasn't researching them. I wasn't looking into it. I was just buying them. Some of them, you know, I didn't even know what they were because it just said, hi, I'm an angel plant. What's an angel plant? You know, and it turns out that it's this nerve plant and that it needs very specific care. And I have to be very mindful of watering and light and all that. But I was just like, this is cute and I want to buy it. So I, you know, I bought it and I had to have it. And, but yeah, it's definitely very two different things, you know, whether you're buying them or you're maintaining them.
Yeah. I had to change my mindset from what looks pretty and aesthetically pleasing to me or fits my decor in my house mm-hmm. and really more think about it as what makes sense for my light and humidity. My house is very dry, so plants that require a bit of moisture, either I need to make a specific humidity dome type situation for them or it's just not going to work for me. So for me, you know, if the house plant looks good and it makes sense in my bright windows with dry air, then it can come home with me. But if it just looks good and I'm not quite sure it can manage those environment pieces, then, you know, I just don't want to spend my money on it.
Yeah, I get that. I'm also at a point where I've got a pretty solid collection. And I don't want to buy anymore because I want to make sure that the ones that I do have make it through the winter. And once these make it through the winter, then maybe, you know, I'll do some more. But I think at this point, I'm pretty happy with what I have. I do feel like I need a couple for my living room. But we're still in the process of renovating it. So I'm not going to buy any just yet because it doesn't really make any sense.
Sure. The first few winters I owned houseplants, I did lose a few just from, it's such a different, here in the Midwest and in Michigan, it's such a different environment and care process for the winter time than it is for any other time of the year. And it's so easy to either overwater or, in my case, sometimes it's a draft, like we talked about with the heat, or if your windows aren't, you don't put plastic over your windows, you might get a draft through some of your windows. Those types of problems can take plants out, you know, in the wintertime. So to all our plant mamas and papas out there, make sure that you are paying attention to slowing down your care if you're in the colder environments like we are.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps that up for this, unless we wanted to cover anything else.
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right. I guess, guys, that means it's time for
party time.
All right. Shannon, do you want to go ahead and ask the first question?
Sure. We have, how many houseplants do you have right now?
I would say I have about 12 houseplants, and I think that's a good solid dozen.
I did not count before I came over. I would say I probably have about 12 to 15 also. I have a lot of multiples. Like I have a few aloe plants. I have a few jade plants, and then the rest are individual.
Okay, if we're counting, because I have like three of the Marble Queen, but it came from one. So I was just counting that as one. Okay, maybe I have like 18. Okay. I'm still under 20 though, so that's okay. That's okay.
I mean, you can go over 20. Some of the people I follow on Instagram just have the best collections. I could shout a couple people out, but they probably know who they are. But they just have such great houseplants and they're things that I don't even know where they get them from. And some of them are, you know, they've had them for 10 and 20 and 15 years. And mm-hmm. I mean, gosh, it's just, that's so cool to me.
Yeah, I do think that's pretty neat. All right. Shannon, what is your favorite houseplant that you have and your least favorite houseplant?
My favorite houseplant is a toss-up between a few things. I have a Croton that I love that I got as a gift a while back. And then I also have a Fittonia plant that my man has kind of claimed as his plant. He likes it just because he knows when it's thirsty because, you know, it falls over. So that he's decided is his plant. But that also is a nice plant. And I really like the marble pothos that you gave me. That's a really pretty one too. My least favorite plant would be this Dracaena tree I have. I had actually pretty much killed it, but not thrown it away. And I just kind of let it sit in a corner for a while and it came back to life. And so now it's living again, which is great. And so it shouldn't be my least favorite, but I kind of forget to water it sometimes because I keep remembering it used to be dead. But it needs a very specific water. It needs distilled water or sat out tap water. And so you have to think ahead when you want to water it.
Okay.
How about you?
My favorite would be this, I think I actually have like three of them, a jade hobbit plant. They look like little Shrek fingers coming out of the the pot. I just love them. I think they're weird looking and I love them. My least favorite is actually, is it croton? Croton?
I'm croton.
Sure. Croton. Okay. Either way, that's my least favorite because it's a pain. It just does whatever it wants. Its leaves fall off all the time. And then it grows new ones. Yeah, I'm not good at keeping this one happy. So that's my least favorite.
See, I've heard people say this about crotons online too, and I've never had a problem with mine. Now, I'm not saying I'm a croton expert, but I have heard they don't like to be moved often. I give mine regular tap water, but it does get bright, like a lot of indirect bright light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's my problem. Now, it's gorgeous when it has leaves. It is one of my favorites to look at. It is gorgeous. I love the colors. But yeah, I think it's just a little bit of guilt I have because I know I'm not doing it right. So, you know, I'm not doing right by that plant.
Yeah, I think we're both achievers enough that if we're not great at something, it's not our favorite thing.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
So the next question I was going to ask you was, what is your favorite way to display your houseplants?
I actually have this really cute little bamboo stand that I have in front of a big window that I have in my front room. And I have all of them there except for maybe like three. You know, the rest are... No, I have like five other ones that are not. But yeah, I love to have them all grouped together. They look like a happy little family. And when I look at them all together, I feel like I have a million houseplants. But I don't have a million houseplants, but I like the look.
Yeah, I like those stands, especially when you have a big picture window like you have. I think those are, you know, really great way to get equal light for lots of plants. And show them all together. I like to use macrame hangers mainly just because I like the trailing plants and that's a better way to display them. I did make a macrame hanger myself once, but I'm better at buying them because they look cooler when other people make them.
Okay. And then Jordan from Michigan wants to know, what is the most we've ever paid for a plant?
Ooh, that rattlesnake Clathia I mentioned earlier, and I hope I'm saying Clathia right. I know a lot of people say that one different ways too, but that's how I like to say it.
If we say anything wrong, just blame it on our accents.
Yeah, Midwestern girls.
Yeah.
I bought that rattlesnake Clathia from a woman selling plants on Facebook in California, and it was $20. Now, I'm pretty sure it somehow came with fungus gnats, either that or I really quickly gave it fungus gnats. And then, like I mentioned before, I slowly killed it with humidity issues over a 2-year period of time. But those plant that rattlesnake Clathia, that under purple belly leaf and the bright green rattlesnake pattern, I just really like that plant.
Gotcha.
How about you?
I would say, I think I paid $28 for an alocasia that I have. I think I'm saying that right, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Those are pretty, though.
Yeah, they are really pretty. But yeah, $28, which I think, you know, for some of the prices that I see on plants, I think under $30 is totally doable, and that's not that bad at all.
Yeah, I mean, and when you get a big plant, even like up to 50 can totally make sense. Mm-hmm. I just personally am not comfortable spending much more than 30 mm-hmm. on a house plant. I'm just not confident in my skills yet. There are people who can definitely keep those brilliant plants alive, but I am not one of them.
All right. And then last question we have here are, what are some benefits to having house plants for you personally?
For me, mental health, obviously. I think that's a topic people talk about overall, is the mental health benefit of having a house plant. The daily check-in of seeing what's going on there reminds me to do a daily check-in with myself. I'm one of those people who can workhorse all day, all week, all year long, and really not take a moment for myself. So looking at the houseplants has really gotten me more in tune with making sure I'm doing that self-check-in as well.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. And I agree with the mental health aspect. I really like being outside. I like nature. I like, you know, being around. And I think most of us, if you're listening to a gardening podcast, you would probably agree you love that kind of aspect of things. And it's a way for me to bring that inside, especially in the wintertime, because everything's cold and everything has kind of died back. And it's a way for me to have a little bit of that inside the house during the winter.
Well, that was fun. We love our houseplants, and we know you guys love your houseplants too. We would love to hear your favorite houseplant, or if you have any further questions about something we didn't get to today, feel free to leave it as a comment on Instagram or on our Facebook. You can find us on all social media platforms at That Garden Show.
Yes. So be sure to check us out on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcast and Spotify, at That Garden Show. Be sure to follow, subscribe, and leave us a 5-star review.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you again next time. Have a beautiful day.